This week's episode is sponsored by Helio Gas Detection.
Hey everybody, this is Richie from the Metal Cell Podcast. I'm delighted to welcome Trench Knife onto the show. I've got Dan, Mike and Owen. Thanks lads for joining me tonight.
Yep. Cheers, no Richie.
Owen, you're nearly an expert at this stage. You're nearly a co-host.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to start charging you.
Appearance fees, huh? Imagine the Irish metal scene. We've really moved on, haven't we?
Yeah, I'll get the rider off to you in the post, you know.
A virtual rider. So, how are things in the Trench Knife camp, lads? Have you any news for us?
I'll let the lads go ahead there for to start.
Tipping away. Things got like going good. We have a couple of nice gigs coming up. And then we've got like a recording that we've been working on as well. So we've been tipping away, kind of trying to keep a little bit busy, but nothing too hectic.
Yeah, no, like I don't want to put pressure on you, but you haven't fucking released anything since 2019, lads, you know?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
We have a lot of material in the works though. So like, I feel like when we start getting stuff out there again, it'll flow along nicely. And we should have another one or two releases in the works, you know?
Oh, that's great news. Actually, funnily enough, the week this is recorded on, so it's the fifth year of the Metal Cell Podcast, which was released in 2019 too. So, yeah, no pressure, boys. You know, I've just got 290 episodes out while ye have been recording and sitting patiently on songs. There better be a good few now, lads. You're like 10-ton slug at this stage.
Ah, sure, Joe. If it's worth doing, it's worth spending time on it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. It's worth the wait. I mean, fuck it. You were as bad with Charborn on, weren't you?
Worse, yeah. if anything, I think there was, so how many years was it? 8 years or something from one release to the next?
Yeah, but come here, it was worth the wait, man. That was fucking absolutely magnificent album. Wasn't it, Dan and Mike? Charborn.
Absolutely.
Release?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Now, every time I've seen Charborn, I'm like, I'm glad Owen's in the band. You know, it's like, you know, you kind of take for granted that these musicians are working with you, you know, because ultimately I just feel like a tool next to the lads, you know. I can't play any instruments. So just look at them like fucking musicians, or, you know, wizards.
Yeah.
Every musician in the metal scene, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's great to watch, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I saw ye, I'm trying to think, was it a Siege appearance? I'm nearly sure. You were on main stage anyway.
I'd say that was a Siege, yeah.
Yeah, it was fucking phenomenal, that fucking appearance, lads. I don't think, like, he had some crowd in front of you, if you can remember back. And, of course, big shout out to Tom Woodlock as well on drums. That was fucking serious, like.
There's a chance that, was that Tom's first gig with us?
I think it could have been, yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. You're spot on, yeah.
Yeah, and like, he's an absolute trooper. Just no worries with him at all, do you know what I mean? He just comes in super prepared, knows what he's doing, do you know what I mean? He's a machine.
Sometimes knows the songs better than we do, and we've been playing him for years longer than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funnily enough, Owen, I was just watching Mike and Tom the whole time, right? And Mike just had this big shit-eating grin on his face right throughout the gig, man. You were fucking enjoying that, like.
Yeah. It's good to play with good musicians. And, like, would have been my first time playing with Tom, too, just being able to see what he can do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned it, that, like, you weren't looking at Owen during that, but, like, that's one of the cool things with playing with Owen as well, is that never have to worry.
Yeah.
You know? I know
rock
that
solid.
Things is just held down really, really well.
Yeah. And Dan, you never sounded so good, man. Again, that's a big shout out to Kieran. I'd imagine was doing sound that day for you, but it was just steamrolled the crowd. So you did, like, and it's brilliant news as well that you're making another appearance in a few weeks' time.
Yeah. The next one. Look, really looking forward to it.
Mm. What slot would you like to get, actually? Any preferences?
When it comes to the Siege, I just don't want to be playing in the last like 2-3 hours, really. Like,
yeah.
I have done it before, and like, I mean, someone has to do it, and there's a lot of people there and all that. But like, it's, you know yourself, it's tough staying like in a good mental space. you can't, you have to watch what you're drinking all day long, and you know, yeah. you, you know, like the stuff with like trench knife stuff is it's fast, so you can't really like John can't go too crazy on the drink.
Can't take your
like,
eye off the balls.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like cause, you know, they'll just come off the rails a bit. But so like just as long as it's not too late. Okay. You know, but any slot, I mean, from I've done opening the stages to like John to later on, and there isn't really a bad slot that you're going
no,
to get.
No, just
know?
Not. No, no. Like 6 o'clock is probably the most preferable one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of peak for like for the local bands anyway, Joe, you know, because you got like the max crowd. I think I'm not sure if the underage it might be gone out by then, but
okay.
But you still have, Joe, you know, you have like a really heavy, like healthy crowd, and you know people are up for it at that time as well. The buzz has started. You know, like, so everyone's kind of going crazy and like the crowd are there for you if you want it. Like,
yes, exactly. And what's the story with Gene now, drummer wise? Have you got a replacement drummer in? Is it going to be Tom or is he just there to help you out playing live at the moment?
Well, the hope is that we get to keep Tom,
okay,
you know,
great.
It depends on what Tom wants to do himself.
Obviously, he's very much in demand, to be fair. Yeah.
He's very in demand, and you know, I hope he likes playing the stuff, and he wants to hang along with us, you know. But you know, there's challenges of just distance between us as well, you know.
He lives
in Mullingar, and we're all based in Limerick.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, bringing him down for rehearsals is not really feasible long term.
He's so sharp, man. A few hours with him and he'll
that's pretty much what we've been doing. We just like if we have a gig or a run of gigs coming up, we'll do a rehearsal with him, and like he's such a machine that like that's all we need.
Yeah.
But like like we love playing with him and like long may it continue, you know. But it really is up to Tom, you know.
we'd love to have his input on material as well in future, you know. I know Owen mentioned it to you beforehand, but you know, we have a lot of material already like written and ready to be recorded. Some of it with drums already, but you know, at this point I prefer to like give it to Tom and see what he could do with it. That's more exciting to me going forward.
Who's helping you out with drums for this EP or even demos and so?
Basically, we did an album's worth of material, and we'd no drummer at the time. Our old drummer emigrated, and then like Ben, who plays in Shardbourne, like Ben Wanders, he was like we were lucky enough that he stepped up and recorded basically an album's worth of drums.
Wow! So, holy shit, that's unbelievable. Then, yeah.
Some of those would have had, let's say, scratch stuff that we would have like pre-programmed and stuff just as a guideline, but he had freedom to kind of like improvise a little bit.
Yeah.
And just we give him feedback, and he did all that pretty much. I think it was over the course of 2 days he recorded the whole thing, and like he jumped again an animal, and he could on the drums, so he did like insane stuff. You know, but that was also tough then because we had to find somebody else that could actually play with that with us live. Tom's well up for that challenge.
Yes, but, he would be. There's not many drummers that can follow Ben Wanderers, actually. Fucking hell.
You know, and like even Ben was like, he was pushing himself for that stuff, you know, because like he was having fun with challenge.
Okay.
But what we're probably going to do is we've been working on kind of half of those songs as a EP release.
Right.
And then we'll probably then use the rest of the songs. So the rest of the songs are still written, and we'll go ahead with those going forward. Then maybe re-record them from scratch. The half of them that we had, we've been working on like over the last like year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. How much input had you into those songs, Dan? Were you able to sit down, write lyrics for them and add vocals over them?
No.
Okay.
I need to evaluate that. I basically leave everything to the last minute. I need pressure to write the lyrics and get them together. You know, I can't preempt writing the lyrics. It's just one of those things I just find challenging to do.
Dan does write all the lyrics though.
That's fair enough.
But when I do sit down, I tend to get like 4, 5, 6 songs kind of all batched together and done. It's just, I don't know what it is. I just need that kind of time to sit down and really think about it. What I kind of need to really write lyrics is just kind of a baseline theme, and then from there,
okay.
I kind of that's the kind of concept in a sense, without trying to sound too
shitty. That's fine. Yeah, yeah. Like even looking back on the EP, the Trench Knife EP, like Endemic Ritual Tomb, Acro Ballista, and the Absent Dead, there was a familiar theme running through that, you know, with your lyrics.
Yeah.
So that was easy enough to set up for yourself then, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Like the base theme of a lot of the lyrics is death and war and all the kind of the gruesome stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's just what I kind of drawn to writing about, you know, for whatever dark reasons are there.
Yeah.
So, but like, there's been many times trying to write the darkest lyrics that I can, and then nearly outdone by what's going on in the world as well, you know? So,
of course, yeah.
you nearly don't need to come up with whatever's going on, you know? You just.
Yeah, and to know what, I suppose it's not time-stamped then either, is it, lyrically-wise? I mean, what's going on at the moment, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, Russia, it's fucking crazy, like, you know, so there's a wealth of stuff to go down that rabbit hole if you do choose so.
Yeah, and I tend not to make it too, like, black and white. I kind of try and dress up the lyrics in a sense, you know, and I've never actually really published lyrics either, just kind of held on to them for whatever reason, but I'd like to produce the lyrics inside whatever physical copies that we do in the future, and you know, probably for an album. I wouldn't do it for an EP, just effort wise and stuff, you know. I don't, just getting it out there, but definitely for an album, I think. But
so who do you draw inspiration wise and influence wise, Dan, vocally?
Like early days, it was all the very, very early days.
Florida death metal, or
pardon? No.
Florida death metal.
Yeah, but Florida and death metal, absolutely. Yeah. So, but I suppose if I can even take a step back to when I started in 3 Hour Ceasefire, and that's when I kind of changed up my vocal style altogether. Okay. To be honest with you, for a few years I tried to sound like Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know I'm getting but that was just my inspiration at the time, and then I kind of was able to take a step away from that and just kind of I wanted to gritty up my lyric, my tone and my voice. And who was it that played it from? It was at the time. I'm so bad with names of bands and bands, by the way. The lads will tell you I am useless. I could be neighbors with the band and I'll forget their name, you know. But when I heard At the Gates, had that kind of real tortured sound. I was like, yeah, that's the kind of
you gravitated the way I want towards to go. That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I'd really just try to do. I just kind of tried to make it as tortured and as painful sounding and kind of extend out the screams, you know. I like the way that it kind of accentuates what the lads are doing as well. But that's really it. And then the lower tones, but the newer kind of influences for me would be like Travis Rhine from Cat Decapitation, that I'm actually going to see tomorrow, so class. I can't wait for that. I just the what he does with his voice is fucking unbelievable, just the tones and that kind of clean singing that he does, and I think he's just one of those kind of vocalists, the second that you hear him you know exactly who it is.
So I'm kind of getting that you're not going to change too radically with the new material then.
Not too much, no. I will put in new stuff. I always like just trying something slightly different and just recording it for my own ego, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
trying to get a longer scream, you know, or something, or deeper tone or layering vocals or something like that, you know. But what's great is that I just kind of started writing with knowing that Owen is on backup vocals, and Mike, and even potentially Tom, you know. That's something that we could do, you know. I think it'd be cool to have four vocals going and layering that up live.
Yes.
Because I'm very much of the idea that if I can't do it live, then I won't record it, in a sense, you know. Like I'd never do more than two kind of vocal layers if there wasn't, or whatever. But I really want to kind of produce as close to the recording as possible, vocally wise anyway.
Would you all agree with that, lads, that Trench Dive are a band that would like to be recognized as a live entity more so than a recording studio band?
Definitely feel like, John, we're, we John, we feel like we're a strong live band, bringing a lot of energy and stuff. John, people seem to really enjoy the gigs when we're doing them. So that's definitely something that we want to keep going forward. You know, I think it's important to us that we all want, like, we never want to stop gigging, I don't think. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, John, and like the releases are important, but like, John, the gigs are like where the real fun is kind of to be had, you know?
So have you got one eye on playing live, as what Dan was saying there, that you don't want to stretch yourselves in one musical direction that can't be replicated live? Mike, maybe you want to take that?
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of a musical traditionalist in that sense. Like, what I hear on the album is what I want to expect to hear live. So I like that it's four guys producing the sound. So, you know, I know there was a big trend in metal for a lot of years that was like overproduced metal.
A lot of the modern death metal bands as well are coming out with track. They have backing tracks and a lot of layers in the backing tracks as well. Do you know, like some of them, like it's, I don't think it's as popular here in Ireland, but you see a lot of the touring bands that are coming over have, you know, they are heavily produced here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that kind of slammy or death metal. You get a lot of bands coming over from England and they have you kind of wonder what they'd sound like without the backing tracks, you know?
Yeah. Would you think many fans would spot that, or is it just the musicians' kind of view on things that, you know, you can fool the fans, but you can't fool the guys that are actually playing the music?
Well, the thing is, like, even when you're playing the Siege, I'd say 80% of the people you're playing to are musicians. So you're you're under a bit of pressure there as well. I know that's only the Siege, you know, but I think just, yeah, musicians would spot it, but there would be fans, absolutely. I think that would have a good ear for that kind of stuff as well, and they would hear the layers. Not all, and maybe not all musicians either would possibly hear it, no.
You know, like, if you, depends what you were doing. If you're throwing in symphonic stuff or something like that over the top,
it's absolutely, you stand out. Yeah, that's a great example.
But there is other
expect that.
But like, I think we'd all prefer to keep it kind of raw, definitely.
Yeah, old school.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I brought up old school, is the new stuff that you're recording, is it still influenced by old school death metal? Or are you looking at newer death metal bands, the way they deliver their stuff now? Where are you standing in relation to that?
For myself, anyway, I couldn't, in my mind, I couldn't describe it as like, couldn't describe our new music as being like, old or new. It's like it's an amalgamation of stuff. Like, I'm terrible at keeping up with new releases.
Yeah.
So when I start listening to music, it's like I often go for older and older and dig up older and older stuff, and you find inspiration and all of that.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's just like putting it through the filter of us and seeing how it comes out on the other end, you know?
Yes.
I love all the, like you said, the Floridian stuff, like that's all fantastic and it's of its time and it still sounds good today. There's some of the stuff in the intervening years as well that, you know, picked up on and I really, really like, and I'd like to add some of the kind of more modern elements of death metal into it as well. Okay. And then of course, you know, have like flagship inspiration for like myself would be like the Black Dahlia Murder, like always been a massive,
as I called it, the Black Delilah. I'll never forget
that. We saw that thing.
You see that? Oh, what a shock.
Yeah, the lads are going to let you live that one down for a while, I'd say.
No, never. I live with that one. But go on anyway. Sorry, Mike. Yeah.
But, we all take our inspirations from where we get it and try to put it together and make it as kind of as natural from to our ears as possible.
Because I think that came up in, who was I talking to about that? John from Gamma Bomb and Red. What's their band again? It's fucking brilliant. Red is Necrosized, but then they brought out an album, then himself, JR, and...
Well, I'm drawing a blank there now. Yeah, sorry.
Good day.
Definitely don't ask me
in it. No, I won't. The reason why I brought it up, I can re-edit this in later. Sorry, lads, for forgetting. I can even picture the fucking cover of the album. Is that we were talking about that a lot of death metal bands, even Irish ones, they're quite happy just to get the music out there. And the music is not about taking risks or exploring new horizons, for example. And would you agree with that in relation to your type of music, what you're writing at the moment? You're not taking risks. You're not exploring new horizons. What you're bringing out is what fans will expect of you as a death metal band.
Like, I'd say pretty much close to there, yeah. We're not really going reinventing the mold or anything but what we're doing. Like, we just, you know, like, we have these riffs and stuff, and we just bring them through, and, like, when it comes out of it, it just sounds like Trench Knife.
Yes.
Do you know, like, yeah. But it's not, you know, we don't really tend to write slow. We don't, do you know what I mean? We just, all our songs kind of fast, sharp, and, like, you know, fairly, like, I would say groovy as well, but, like, we tend to just kind of stick to those kind of things. And, like, it's not like we're putting in clean guitar sections or, like, Joe or anything. It's like we're still, it's just going to be kind of like same kind of thing, you know, just new songs.
Yeah. Crimson Butchery is the name of the band. And if any of you haven't heard it, it was one of my favorite death metal releases of last year. So big shout out to the lads. Okay. So I'm going to play a track off the last EP, The Absent Dead. It's one of my favorite tracks on it, just to give people an idea of what you sound like back in 2019. And big shout out to Kieran as well, because do you know what? Even when I was revisiting the EP, it still sounds so fucking good, you know, and fresh. So well done.
Cheers.
Okay. Thank you. Let's give it a blast. Okay, folks, so that was The Absent Dead. What were you saying there, Mike? Was that the first song he wrote?
First song, I think, maybe started working on it like second time we ever met up.
No way. Jesus yeah. Christ, that's brilliant. I should ask you how he formed. You might as well get into that now.
Yeah.
Will I take this or do you want to?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So basically myself and Kev, the old drummer, had finished in 3 hour ceasefire.
Okay.
And we still kind of wanted to keep something going, you know. And then it's just trying to find guitarist, bassist. That was literally it. And I think Kev was talking to Owen one night or something like that. And he was like, just have to find a bassist now. And Owen was pretty much like, I'll do it. So that was that. And then if I can tell the story of when I first saw Mike playing, it was, do you ever remember the Blind Pig, Richie?
I heard about it loads of times on the show. Yeah, no, I was never there, no. But Shane Horn was involved in that, was he? Or somewhere along the line. Might have mentioned it.
Would have been running gigs here with the Bad Rap Lads.
Yeah, all right. But the ownership, I'm not too sure. Yeah. But yeah, it was kind of small little basement pub, but... I was there and a few lads were there and there was a shite band playing, but the guitarist was good.
What were they playing?
I don't know.
Rob riffs.
Yeah. And we were like, that guitarist is way too good to be playing with that band. So that was when Mike appeared on our radar. And so I suppose then when we were looking for a band, we were like, geez, we give that Mike young fella a shout. And Mike had savage guitars, long hair, you know, ticked all the boxes. Was really good at guitar.
Yeah, so, and yeah. He was into death metal as well, which is...
Into death metal, yeah. No, but he did. He, you know, he was well able to play, you know what I mean? And it was exactly what we were looking for. So that was really it. But I think the first time we actually got together, I can't even remember how long ago that was. It was probably 8-9 years ago, was it, lads? Can't even remember.
2015, 2016, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were young lads still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike was very young. Yeah. I was approaching my 30s, but...
And settling on the name Trent Knife then. What a great name.
So... another story about the link with 3 hour ceasefire, I suppose. We had played in Holland and myself and Kev had actually driven over with all the gear. And okay. We played a few gigs over there. But on the way back, we were driving through northern France and we stopped in all the World War II areas of, you know, all the kind of tourist destinations. And mm-hmm. one of them was the memorial at the beach. Oh my God, I'm after forgetting the beach.
Oma Beach,
yeah. So the museum there and everything, like if anybody's watching this, they've never been, it's fascinating.
Amazing.
You know, correct, yeah. But we were going through that and then making our way through the museum and I looked down at this glass case and this like fucking evil looking knife and it was just there on its own and below it, it said trench knife and I was like, you know, what a horrible position where a trench, which is beyond horrific, and then there's a knife specifically made for that environment, you know, just mm-hmm. it nearly sent shivers down my spine the second I saw it, you know, and even just the way it looked and the history behind it and stuff like that. So it actually became a 3 hour ceasefire song.
Because okay.
I liked the name so much. And then when it ended, it was a couple of years after it ended, I text back into the 3 hour ceasefire group, you know, nobody had even seen it for ages. And I was like, can I steal the name for a band I want to start? And the lads were like, yeah, go ahead. You know? So, that's how it. I got the name.
Yeah. And I have a funny story as well, Mike, haven't I?
Oh yeah.
So myself and Brian Heher, we were in, what was the pub again? And
yeah, Mickey Martin's.
So myself and Brian Heher, good mate of mine, we were in Mickey Martin's and we were talking about metal as we always do. And I was saying to Brian, I goes, you know what one of my favorite fucking names of a band is? And he's going, what? And I was there going, Trench Knife. And Brian's going, oh, fucking brilliant. And sure, they're from Limerick. And who is right alongside of us? Mike and the girlfriend or at the time. Wasn't that true?
That's right. Yeah.
You just couldn't make it up. Sure, you couldn't.
No.
That's mad.
It's a good thing you didn't start reading us.
I hadn't seen you at that stage. I hadn't seen you live at that stage. Let's go back, lads, as well, because I mean, I'm glad you brought up the age thing. You know, trying to get your band out there in relation to social media, like we all remember the fanzines back in the day, you know, and how great they were, and like trying to get your band out there now without obviously fanzines and the whole fucking social media onslaught. It's quite a challenge going forward for a band to find a way to kind of stand out from the rest. Which one of you is going to take on that, or are the three of you going to sit down and fucking think of a strategy, or are you just going to leave the music do the talking?
I've kind of taken the social media side of things, just the Instagram really, and Owen does the Facebook because I don't have a Facebook. But the when I see other bands putting out the amount of content that they do, you just really appreciate the work that they're doing, you know. And I could laugh so many Irish bands that like I'm just looking and I'm like, fair play to you, lads. You know, you deserve all the kudos that you get because you're working for it, you know, and it's as simple as that. The work that you put in, you get it back out, you know. I find that a lot of the time that we play shows and stuff like that, you get a little batch of followers after that, you know. Yes. And I like that because, you know, somebody's after seeing us live and they said they've taken the time to go and find us on social media and like us.
I bought
you know,
the merch.
Yeah. Really appreciate it. So yeah, like even getting the merch out and stuff like that, you know, I like that process as well. But it's always kind of unnerving to know what to do, you know.
Yeah.
For a while, I've kind of played it safe with the zombies and stuff like that. But it's the kind of merch that I like, you know.
And that's,
you know, if I make something that I go, oh yeah, I'd buy that at merch, so then I'm happy with that, you know. But yeah, the side of social media things, I find it hard to generate stuff out of nothing. You know, if we're not doing anything, I find it hard to post up. But if we're jamming or we're getting stuff out there, I like to, you know, just put up the handy posts and things like that, you know. So
yeah,
I think it's definitely one of those things that, like, I'd say every band kind of feels like they could be doing more, but there's a point as well where you almost feel like you're bothering people by posting too much, do you know?
Yeah, I think that's a very relevant point there, Owen. Yeah, you're just going...
You know, is it worth posting stuff if you're not posting anything really relevant? Do you know what I mean? But, Joe, so, like, if someone can look at our page, it's not very active, but, like, the information that people want is kind of there, you know?
Yeah. I want to bring it to Shardbourne there for a minute, like, because you did release the album, and you know, how was the reception after the release?
We could have done more with, let's say, trying to get the, like, general reviews and stuff. That's what a lot of bands kind of do. But I find that, like, depends on who you get to do the reviews. Mm-hmm. But some of them are kind of just not nonsense. You know, almost like some reviews are fairly. They're just out patting on the back and everyone gets a share on the page. You know, a little bit substanceless. But it, like, obviously then there is people who put in a lot of time to do good reviews. But like you know, you'd have to find those people then as well. Joe, but we could have done more media-wise. But it's tough now because, I mean, Joe, even like Joe, there's no point dealing with any kind of magazines or PR firms in that regard anymore. You know, they used to have the connections and the ins, and like those are all gone now. Like, so... Do you know, it's tough. I think really videos and so, like, are the big thing still, like, for trying to get, you know, there's a lot more engagement on video content than
there is, yeah.
Like, you know, just about anything else. Even putting stuff up on, you know, to listen to. I think a lot of people are still gravitating towards putting a song on, like, if you have a music video, they'll throw that on before sticking on your album on Spotify or something, you know.
Yeah, like as what Dan was saying as well, like a band, like, first have to invest in themselves. That means spending time to write the best music they can, working on the live act, spending their own money in the beginning, you know, to get through the phases of the band's growth, you know. So it's something for you to be thinking about in relation to moving forward with a release on the horizon.
You're definitely better off having a strategy in place anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Putting a bit of thought into it, because that way you'll have the relevant, you know, the stuff that, And you can plan it out and have it spaced out as well. You don't want to just do all your posts the week your album comes out. You need to be doing a lead up and all that kind of crack, you know. It's just it's a bit of work.
And you can interact directly now with fans of the band, you know, which is definitely not the case before.
No.
Okay, so give me a rough idea. Are you working with 4 or 5 songs for the EP, for example, or is it just 3, or where are we with that?
I think we're at 5 for this particular EP.
The last and Kieran is at the helm.
Yeah, Kieran. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I'm actually holding the whole ship up at the moment. I have to hold my hand up there because drums are done, guitars are done, bass are done. I think I have about 3 of those 4 or 5 songs done, you know. And I just really just need to get in there and get it done. And then I think Mike has a small bit of tracking to do, and then we're good to go. Artwork and get it out there. Just really keen to get this one done, because it's a mix of stuff that we've played live and a couple of new ones. But the next release is the stuff that we're excited about. There's 1 or 2 songs there that we just love playing live as well, or just even to jam it out and figure it out. Tom isn't a big fan of those.
Yeah, I know, you have to get Tom on board as well. So how many songs are you looking at for a set list at the moment? Like, are the 4 songs of the EP being played plus another 4 or 5? Pretty much.
I think we struggle to get to 30 minutes, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't even know how many songs that is. You know, our songs are quite short. I think the longest maybe 5 minutes or something like that. But that's by design, you know. That for me and the lads touching it there earlier, I like the sharp, snappy songs just to hold interest, you know. Not that longer songs you'd lose interest, but just for the style that we have, it's just get in there, get it done, play them as fast as we can, you know.
Yeah, I just realized there as well that actually the EP came out in 2017 instead of 2019. That's worse again, lads.
That's worse again.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. I was giving you the credit. Like, no, it came out in 2017. And you didn't correct me either, Owen. Fuck's sake.
I'm terrible when it comes to dates for things. Everything just happened in the past. I don't know how people remember. They've got, some people have some head for Joe, they'll know the month of the gig and everything. Yeah. So I couldn't tell you what happened 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah. So like, what are you currently listening to musically wise at the moment? Any older bands on your playlist, or are you listening to new stuff?
I know you were touching on the newer death metal stuff. I'm big into Gay Creeper at the moment.
Great call, yeah.
Great Gay Creeper. I love Nails. I always go back to Nails. Worm Rot there recently a lot.
Yeah.
And who else? Who was the Enforced? Actually, Owen got me onto Enforced. If you've ever listened to them, they're fucking great.
You just literally fucking ticked every box there that I'm listening to as well. Yeah.
Spot on. Oh, really? Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Enforced. Yeah. Yeah.
And like Gay Creeper just released new stuff there today. Like, and it's just, I saw them in Dublin. Okay. When they played last year. I think, Owen, you were there too, weren't you?
Yeah, I went up with you. Yeah.
Brilliant. That
was great. It was just fucking. Like, you just want to start all over again and just make the heaviest stuff you can after seeing bands like that. It was just a fucking, and the night before, I think Napalm Death, or 2 nights before, Napalm Death had played in Dolan's. And it was really interesting to see the 2 bands close in dates, because it's a different type of heaviness from each, you know. It was this, like, Napalm or this kind of frantic, kind of frenetic kind of energy, you know, and just everything about it is, and then Gay Creeper, just like a fucking sledgehammer. Like, just, I know it's an overused term, you know, but it was just fucking, they were so good. But that's what I'm kind of listening to. I'll pass it over to the lads.
Yeah, you can retire on that, Dan. That's unbelievable.
Thanks.
I'd be checking out most of those bands as well. And then maybe Creeping Death as well, from like their last release was kind of similar, kind of vein to some of those bands, because kind of digging that. A few people have been telling me to, you know, 200 Stab Wounds, they're they're playing support to cattle decapitation as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And everyone's been telling me to check them out, so I've had their album on a few times and checking them out as well. So that'd be kind of the newer death metal stuff that I'd be getting into anyway, along with the bands like Enforced and Gatekeeper and stuff.
Suicidal Angels as well, if any of you are interested, check that out. Release out. Mike.
Well, recently, not a whole lot of metal recently. I've been listening to the new Terracite, the new Decap in preparation for the gig coming.
Yeah, doing the homework on that. Yeah, spot on.
Savage, like just you're getting like they're showing levels to the game. You know, every album.
Yeah.
Recently, listening back through a lot of D-Side.
Really? Yeah.
Across that album. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Savage just slamming the whole way. Oh, it was another older one as well. There was some Dying Fetus, like Intentional Manslaughter. There's like some riffs in that are just slamming and groovy. And but mostly, like I play in a blues band at the moment as well. Okay. And I've been listening to a lot of Joe Walsh, all his back catalog, James
That's
Gang.
Fine.
And,
That's fine.
But I like my metal, but recently kind of not been dipping my toes into it too much. A lot of lot of classic rock, a lot of blues.
Yeah, you're kind of along the way I'm going as well. Yeah. you can only listen to so much of it, and then you want to fucking switch off.
Yeah, sure. That's the thing. You know, it's nice to find a metal band that you can like really get your teeth into. Then some bands pop up, and it's like, you know, It's not the regular old thing. It's like really refreshing. And
See, I've mates that are relentless with metal. They're just bombarding or WhatsApp groups. I'm like you. I can fucking tune out and listen to De La Soul. I can listen to some blues. I can switch off completely. But I know when I come back in, I just scroll back up through WhatsApp and go, okay, what got the best reaction out of all the lunatics that are listening? And go, okay, I'm going to listen to that now, you know, and not lose out too much on it, you know.
I think it's good as well to
I think it's good as well to take a step back if you want to nearly really appreciate it as well. I do that from time to time. I just literally won't listen to metal at all. Mm. And then when I go back listening to it, then the same albums, you know, you get the same feeling again, listen to it or whatever. And even like Mike touched on listening to Cattle Decapitation beforehand, you know, I like to nearly forget and then go in fresh, you know, as if I'm seeing them for the first time in a sense, you know, and just listen to easier listening stuff, you know, in preparation for the gigs that I'm really looking forward to, in a sense, you know. I just like doing that.
Let's talk about the gigs that you have announced. So the big one, and I'll be seeing you again, is for the 10 Ton Slug launch on May the 3rd.
Yeah.
That's going to be fucking fun.
No, that's going to be brilliant.
That's going to be heavy.
Shout out to our brethren over in Scotland, Dog Tired as well. What, like, fucking hell, three unbelievable bands in Dolan's on May the 3rd. Like, that's just...
That's going to be some night.
It will be some night.
John.
I wonder, will you get main stage? I suppose it depends on ticket sales, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure if it's the Casbah or the Warehouse, but, John, the Slug lads definitely, like... There's a lot of people anticipating this release anyway, so I'd say they won't struggle to pull a crowd. Like people,
no, they won't. No, and it's a great night to hit Limerick as well, a Friday night. That's going to be serious. And so you've an appearance on The Siege as well that we talked about. Anything else?
We're doing another date with the 10 Ton Slug lads. I'm not 100% sure if that's been announced.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
But so, like, we'll be doing another big show with them as well. So that's like something to jump. I think it's that same weekend.
It's the 5th in Dublin, Grand Social, I think.
Yeah, nice.
So, like, that should be like another fantastic night. Like, I've never actually played in the Grand Social before either, so I'll be looking forward to that.
I've actually never been in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same.
I've seen a few gigs there, but.
Owen?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I'd say 350, 400 maybe.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So it's a big enough room, but the stage isn't quite tall enough. So if you don't, like, if it's a busy gig, you have to get up front to see the band. I couldn't tell you for sure. I could be wrong on those numbers, but like that's the impression I got anyway when I was there. I think that's where we saw Gatekeeper then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's cool. I said the Aristocrats then there as well. Just another band.
Okay.
But it's a weird place. You go in, you have to come in the ground floor, and like there was like karaoke in there one time. I was in there and
there was
a salsa dancing class or something.
Downstairs
as well.
From Gay Creeper, there was full on karaoke. It's quite the contrast.
I'd love that shit then, just staggering around the place. Like,
Yeah.
It's a bit like Vicar Street then, in a way as well, that there's separate areas, is it? Or separate bars?
Yeah, I'd say there's at least three kind of distinct areas in there. But the place is a bit of a maze. It's like, I got lost in there before.
Yeah, the costs and everything like that. It's just fucking Dublin doesn't do it for me. I try not to get up there. I probably would go to Judas Priest, but I'm working night shift and I have a christening in Limerick the next day. So that's me out of that one. And I am going to the Gypsy Kings on the Monday. So by the time this comes out, I'll be bomboleting.
Oh, nice. That'll be a fun all night.
Yeah, of course, man. They're like the fucking wolf tones at this stage. You don't know who's alive and who's dead, like, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think you'll have this EP out before the end of the year, lads?
We promise. We're going to say it now. We're going to say it now, lads. We've got to set it in stone and put
excellent
pressure on
stuff.
It. We have to get it out. Like, you know what I mean? We're sitting on it so long. But yeah. We will.
That's brilliant. I'd say, like, there's... The back is broken, really. So, like, there's not that much really needs to be done. We just have to polish it off and stuff. And then onwards and upwards from there as well. Do you know?
Yeah, definitely. I'll push it a lot on my side as well and do as much as we can for you. So,
I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Looking forward to it, boys. Thanks a million for coming on the show, Dan, Mike, and Owen. You've been listening to Trench Knife, and keep an eye out for their socials. And as I said, I'll be front and center for the Siege and Slug dates, so we'll definitely have beers at that time, anyway, at least that's
absolutely.
Cheers,
thanks for coming on again. And crucially, support your local metal scene.